The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had a withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I never got the chance to give the baccalaureate address at my former call. I helped for 5 years, but never stepped to the plate when one of the addresses to about, 150 or 200 students or so who attended our interdenominational service. My final year of that call, the senior pastor at the church where I was serving gave the address. We talked about it, and he reasoned that in such an address, it was good to give them something to do, something to strive for in an address such as this. He quoted Micah 6:8, except for in the middle of it, he accidentally called it John 3:16, which really confused me, because I'm like, this is not right. Like, I probably was the only one who bothered by this, but whatever. So Micah 6:8 tells us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God, which are wonderful ideals to try to live up to. However, today, the seniors who are here, you are stuck with the assigned reading from 2 Corinthians. In this passage, we are given nothing to do, nothing except die, which seems wholly depressing. However, at the same time, while you have marked the passage of your high school years with all the wonderful and fun events like admissions to the National Honor Society, prom, church mission trips, making the honor roll, getting your first jobs, getting accepted into college, and stepping into major leadership roles in high school and in the church and in the community, it hasn't been all sunshine and rainbows. This year in particular has been marked with school shootings around the country and threats to our own local schools. Recently, there was a horrific hit and run that left one local classmate dead and another one still in critical condition. And even beyond those things we have labeled as national and local tragedies, there have been quiet reminders of death. Friends and family members are diagnosed with cancer or some other disease. Depression and anxiety continue to be real and common things that impact our friends and our families. A relationship, whether that be a romantic relationship or friendship, ended on not so great terms. Or our senior year of high school wasn't all we were told it was supposed to be or all we expected it to be. It was just kind of another year, or maybe even a worse year than you expected. And for those of you who are not high school seniors, this is you too. As we get older, those reminders of death come at us faster and harder. Suddenly, it's not your grandparents or your friends' parents or your parents who are dying. It's your peers or even your peers' children. And suddenly, speaking of high school, your high school class reunions start shrinking in size, not because people don't care anymore, but because there aren't as many as you left. And I'd love to give you something to do in the face of death, whether literal or figurative death. I'd love to tell you to fight back or to hold on, or that I could tell you that it gets better or easier or some other platitude. And yes, there is a time for that, because sometimes it does get better and easier. But sometimes it doesn't. Despite our best efforts, despite us doing our best to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God, despite our efforts to change the world for the better, as Christians, we are not shielded from difficult times, from death. Even as Christians, we find ourselves pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, and carrying death. And I tell these things not to scare you, but because you are already living them right now, and you will continue to live them, as all the generations in this congregation will attest to. But I also tell you these things so that you know it's okay. It's okay that you are feeling and experiencing these things. It's okay when things go off the rail, when you decide to change your major in the middle of college, or when life after high school doesn't go as planned, or you get to whatever you've determined is the next step, and you're not sure if you've gotten to the right place, or what next move you should make, or when you're not sure what you can or should do next. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. But in that word, we are reminded of what God has done for us. Yes, death is real. I hate that it's already a part of your lives. But it is, and so is God. As Paul writes, "For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be visible in our mortal flesh." So death is at work in us, but life in you. So when we face death of any kind, whether it's the death of certain expectations, high hopes, dreams we've had since childhood, the death of a loved one, we find reassurance in God's promise that yes, death is at work in the world, but so is God, and God is light, and God is life. Through Jesus, though death is at work in our lives, so is life. Through Jesus, who gave his very life for us on the cross, so that we may live and not just have life, but new life. I love the juxtaposition that we are given in verse 10. We are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. Life cannot be seen without death. Death, in this case, makes room for new life. Jesus' death makes way for new life. I remember I wasn't particularly moved by my high school graduation. Mostly I was just kind of excited to move on and start college. But my college graduation was a bit different. As my college roommates, some of my dearest friends, and I moved out of our apartment, after a whirlwind day, we had baccalaureate, commencement, and a campus-wide celebration with friends and professors. I remember we gave each other one big last group hug, and I left the apartment crying. Well, I knew what was next, seminary, I didn't know how graduating and moving on was going to impact my relationships with these wonderful women, how our lives would change and evolve, whether it would bring us back together or we'd drift apart, where life would lead us and whether or not this would help us bond together or not. It was a death of sorts to this wonderful chapter of our lives. In all of this, all I could do was trust that God was faithful and new life would be found on the other side of this ending. And it has. Over the years, we have experienced death, figurative, in the death of serious relationships, and life in lasting marriages and children. Literal death in the death of one of my friend's father-in-laws, another one of my friend's fathers, and my sister. But, as they put it in Jurassic Park, life always finds a way. And the one who keeps sustaining us and giving us life and bringing us back together is God. God's life, the life that we are given through God, through Jesus, keeps pushing back against the death that we have experienced. Not because of anything we do, but out of God's love for us. So trust that in your lives, no matter where life may find you, no matter what death you may face, life will find a way for you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.